Welcome everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. I am Roy, AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers, as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. We also offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder and as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange color type, but if you would like a simple URL to find it, just type into your browser puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com, and we also have an Echo Link node available for use. Just point your Echo Link application to the node kc2rc-r. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesdays of each and every month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. No question is too simple, no question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each and every question in order, and I will try to provide a cogent answer. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know either here on the technical net, or you can email me. Email address is tech@kc2rc.com. This is a little unusual tonight. Bob, KD2NVB, is busy, has other responsibilities, and so he will not be here tonight. I also know of another regular participant who won't be able to come here. Perhaps he'll arrive later. So I might end up being in a situation where I'm talking to myself. We'll soon find out. So if you're out there and you have a question or you have a comment and you'd like to join in and participate in this exercise, please hit that push-to-talk button. Give me your first name and your call sign. Well, as I feared, I seem to be talking to myself, which usually indicates some mental health issues. I hope that's not the case with me here tonight. The game plan that I was going to have is I'll just kind of give you guys a little bit extra time to remember that it's the second Wednesday of the month, and it's past 9 o'clock, and rush to your radio to check in and ask some interesting questions, make some interesting comments, what have you. Since I'm not by nature a monologuist, it takes two to tango. Also, it's very bad form in amateur radio to broadcast instead of transmitting back and forth. So we'll give you a little bit of extra time just in case someone strolls by the radio, sits down, and wants to have a technical conversation. If there's just nothing but me and the crickets, then we'll just retire this on the early side and call it a night. Anyway, once again, if you're out there and you're so inclined, please hit that push-to-talk button and ID yourself. Well, once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'm Net Control Operator for this, the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We meet on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 9 p.m. Usually I have a co-host, but Bob has another place to attend to. And one of my other regular participants for the night also has an occasion that he went to. So we are very few people out here. So if there's anyone with any technical questions or comments or topics for discussion, please don't be a silent person. Hit that push to talk. Give me your first name and your call sign, and you can either bring up the topic or ask me a question or make a comment. Not quite sure. I wasn't able to pick up the call sign. There's a lot of noise in the background, so if you could reorient, if you have a handy talkie, reorient the angle that it's going off at, or take it closer to the window, or take it outside, or take it up on a hill, or raise the power, because I just couldn't make out. I made out a voice, but little information.
Do you copy?
Brian? Yes, Brian, I copy you.
Awesome, thank you. I just found this repeater. I'm actually pretty new to ham radio in general. I'm trying to find more nets. I'm not sure the exact purpose of, the discussion right now. So maybe if you could, my first question would be if you can explain what it's all about, and I guess a follow-up question would be any advice on repeaters, specifically, I guess, in the Brooklyn or New York City area. KE2BAX.
Okay, Brian, that's a good question. Occasionally, repeaters will have scheduled times when particular topics are taken up and dedicated for that period of time. This is the KC2RC repeater of the Kings County Radio Club at 146.730 with a PL tone of 88.5. And on it, we have two regularly scheduled nets. Every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. is the club info net. Goes anywhere from 9 o'clock to about 9:30, sometimes 9:45. On the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month is a technical net where I run this net. I have a co-host who's usually here, and we take questions from the audience or topics for discussion and discuss them as best we can. We also have a 10-meter net, the club does, but not on the repeater, obviously, on 28.380 upper sideband every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Those are our three nets, and the 10-meter net is in a location where even a technician can operate on that portion of the 10-meter AM band, phone band. It's a single sideband. So that's what this is. We are a technical net. Now, you asked an interesting question. It's the same interesting question that I asked 11 years ago when I got my license. What do I listen to? Because you pick up a repeater book, and there's a lot of entries in the metropolitan area. When you tune to them, you don't hear anything at all. And very often, if you try to transmit to them, they don't even ka-chunk back at you. So I was deeply confused at the time. And I went to the Kings County Radio Club, and I asked the people who had been on the air for many years, what's the story? And they said, well, you just have to know what repeaters work and what repeaters don't work. So I actually sat down and I listened to all the repeaters and I wrote it up. And if you go to our website, which is www.kc2rc.com, and you look for Roy's links and you look for the Hitchhiker's Guide to New York Repeaters, there will be a list of local repeater stations with the frequencies and the activity level and the type of people who coalesce around it. It's a little bit out of date. I have to freshen it up, but it's still very useful as far as a list of active repeaters in the metropolitan area.
Excellent. I will definitely check that out. Thank you. And I'm kind of doing the same myself. I've noticed I'm pretty high up, actually, so I'm not sure if it's common in Brooklyn to be able to get repeaters out in New Jersey and up in, Westchester. I've gotten a couple of repeaters that are pretty far, and those actually seem to be the most active for me. Like, I think W2LI out in New Jersey, I've listened into their net once And I think I heard like a NTS net or a National Traffic System net for like a brief moment up in north of Valhalla, I think, is the repeater up there. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be checking out your links, and thank you. Appreciate it. KE2BAX.
Well, you're very welcome. I also might suggest that you try the LIMARC nets. Well, the LIMARC repeaters in general, W2VL. The VHF closest to you is probably going to be W2VL. It's 146.850. And if you like nets, or if you especially like technical nets, there's a technical net there every Sunday night at 8 p.m. And I happen to know the guy who runs it. It's me. So, you know, there's that net. There's a bunch of nets that LIMARC has. LIMARC has its own club InfoNet on Monday nights at, I think, 8:30. And on the third and fourth Wednesdays of the month, they have a computer net at 8:30. So, you know, it's a rather lively repeater. There are these occasional relatively active repeaters. Most of the repeaters you will find, if you look in a repeater book, have been pretty much retired or have fallen into disuse. So, unfortunately, you can't usually go by a repeater book. It's probably best to just kind of look around on the band and see what's happening. I was very fortunate to have my Flex software-defined radio that has a PAN adapter. So I could just kind of look at the band and see when someone's transmitting and tune to it and figure out where the station is. N2ROW is also another relatively active repeater in the metropolitan area. Are you still out there, Brian?
Yeah, still here. I'm taking some notes, and I'm actually pulling up the website right now for the club. Looking at some info here. And yeah, your comment on the SDR, that's actually, I can't believe I didn't think about that. That's the reason I actually got my license, was because I got an SDR during COVID times. I got the RTL dongle, and I was listening to all sorts of like digital stuff going on in my neighborhood. And I'm like, this is pretty cool. I want to be able to transmit. Once I got my license, I pretty much haven't even looked. I haven't even looked at the SDR. So I wasn't really interested in voice bands until I started studying for the technician. And yeah, so that's great. That's great advice. I'm definitely gonna plug that thing, get that thing fired back up, and take a look around.
Yeah, SDRs, I'm a big fan of SDRs in general, but they brought a kind of new dimension to amateur radio. Every so often, I have this weird conversation with old-timers who don't really like visual cues for receiving signals. They've used their ears for so many decades that they feel that the only way to really pull out a signal is to twirl a dial and listen closely, and when you hear something a little strange, to fine-tune it and such. Unfortunately, my viewpoint is I have it sitting on top of my computer screen. Every little bump that I see is a possible signal, and all I have to do is click a mouse cursor and I'm there. But I guess they feel that that's no fun at all. So I have a Flex radio, which is a very nice multi-band, multi-virtual receiver radio that's able to kind of show me most of the HF frequency range and any of the UHF or VHF all at the same time, and gives me an interesting perspective on the band conditions in real time. So I really like that. But RTL, SDR, I have one of those as well. I have a book written by one of the guys who really promotes that. I think he has the website. I think he's a Kiwi. I think he's a New Zealander. And I've plugged it into a Raspberry Pi and, you know, played around with it and such. So it's a very useful thing. It's not very well designed for HF. It works far better in the UHF and VHF range because it was designed for high-frequency digital television signals in Europe, and it was repurposed for a very inexpensive SDR dongle, as you well know.
Yep, that's exactly why I was using the RTL SDR, was to get high-frequency, like 433. There's some software for Linux that I was using to like read all sorts of like weather stations. I'm sure you know. it's pretty neat. And there's also an app you can plug it into your phone, and that might be more useful to me actually, because I have the convenient thing is I have, you know, this mobile, it's a bow bank, to be honest. And it's so nice not to have my computer, but there's now apps on the Android that you can, you know, use the dongle, plug it into the Android, and you've got an SDR that you can constantly be scanning on. And, you know, you got your handheld mobile or handheld portable there as well to transmit out when you find something interesting. So, interesting combo. I'm definitely experimenting with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of free software out there, a lot of people tinkering with it. It's a perfect price point for the average amateur radio operator. We generally do not like to spend money. So Baofengs, although sometimes I get the sense that they come out of a Cracker Jack box, they're not always the best. Some of them act a little bit wonky. And no one really wants to put them up to some calibration test equipment and see the strange things that they do on the side. But they're inexpensive, readily available. You know, you can get one on Amazon the next day. And if it breaks, you don't have to, get a second job to afford a new one. So pretty much everyone has a Baofeng. I have a Baofeng. Most people you talk to have at least one. Occasionally you bump into interesting people that have bought a dozen of them. I think, better by the dozen is not really apply to Baofengs personally, but whatever floats one's boat.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of quirks, but, can't complain about the price. I guess I'll ask one last question. I think it's kind of on topic, which is, if you were to maybe, and I know this is pretty general, you probably can't give too general advice without knowing specifics, but if in your opinion, what would be sort of the next step up from a Baofeng as far as like a portable handheld go?
Okay, a personal handheld. Probably I would suggest something like a Anytone 878 or an 868. These are dual band, UHF, VHF, and they also are capable of DMR, which is a relatively popular digital type of communications. There aren't that many digital repeaters. There are a few, not that many, but it also opens up your options that you can then purchase something like a hotspot, which is a link to the internet if you're so inclined. What happens is you transmit the DMR signal on your handy talkie, it gets picked up locally on the hotspot, gets fed down through your internet service provider, and you're linked all over the world to different talk groups is what they use the term in DMR. So it's a very, very popular handy talkie when it comes to DMR. And in general, it's not as expensive as the Japanese handy talkies. They go for about $150 to about $200. And you do get the additional benefit of a DMR capability. So that certainly is a possibility. You know, now if you have something against DMR or digital and you want to stay completely analog, then there are other mostly Japanese companies. If you like to operate, say, Fusion, which is this repeater is capable of Fusion operation, then you would look for a proprietary Yaesu brand. If you were looking for D-Star, which is another digital technology that's made by ICOM, so you would buy an ICOM-based handy talkie. Every major manufacturer tends to promote their own proprietary digital non-compatible format.
Yeah, Yaesu is a name that comes up a lot in my research, and Anytone as well, so yeah, appreciate it. You know, I think I'll, I don't know if there's a big audience too eager to jump in, but I think, you know, I appreciate the discussion and your help, and like I said, I just found this repeater yesterday and the club as well, so I'm going to be probably looking a bit more into potentially joining, and with that, I'll hand it back to you, Roy. Thanks again,
KE2BAS. Okay, very good. Check out our website. There's a lot of original articles that I've written. We have newsletters, old newsletters that include original articles in about one-third of them. You might find it interesting, you might not. And if you're interested in joining us, we have a meeting on the first Wednesday of every month. Right now, it's a virtual Zoom meeting. If you email me, AC2GS, I'm on QRZ and all over the place, I'll give you a link to the Zoom meeting, and you can drop by and check it out. You could ask questions, or you could just sit back and watch. We're always looking for new people. We, as I mentioned earlier in the intro, if you heard it, there's an application available. The dues is made as painless as humanly possible. But, you know, we try and help out the regular amateur radio community. You do not have to be a club member to avail yourselves of these technical nets or the 10-meter net or anything that we do. We share it with as many people as we can. Well, Brian, it was good to talk to you tonight. If you have any further questions, and if I, you know, later on, if there is a later on, if I can dig up some other people, feel free. This is, again, AC2GS. My name is Roy, and this is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We meet here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. to talk technology. So if there's anyone out there who has a question or a comment or a topic for discussion, please hit that push-to-talk button. Hello, Max. How you doing?
Well, trying to make some repairs to my workstation. I managed to destroy a dock with the USDC port. I have to replace, everything, but that's not the thing that I wanted to ask you about. I have a question about the FTM400XD, so the one I got from Mitch. Just wondering if you've ever worked with any of the FTM400s, and that is a funny thing that's going on that I'm trying to understand.
Okay. Well, yes. Matter of fact, you're listening to me through an FTM-400, and I even know who originally donated that FTM-400.
I'm dying to find out who donated, and I'll ask you a question of what's going on.
Well, unfortunately, you probably have never met him. His name is Bob. He doesn't really show up at the meetings at all. He joined the club and was kind enough to join the VE team. And with the in-person VE meetings, he was there almost every single time that we had one for a couple of years. And he was kind enough to donate his FTM-400 to the club a few years ago. And he's a sweet guy. I hope he's doing well. He was a little bit under the weather during COVID times. And I have to shoot another email to him one of these days just to say hello.
He's doing okay. Here's my question. I'm trying to hook it up just to make sure everything's working, get the computer running, get the radio running, connect it all, see if I can connect just before I attempt to put it anywhere else. When I turn it on, I get the Yaesu screen with the words Wires X underneath it, and then nothing happens. It just sits on that screen forever. Try Googling that a little bit. People talking about resetting the firmware and so on, and I was like, no, I don't know enough to start messing with it. And idea why it would just get stuck on the login screen?
Offhand, no, but probably that would be very good advice that you got from the web. It's not like you're using it to program a number of repeaters. The way it's going to be configured, probably the way it has been configured, is just our single channel. You know, 146.730/146.130 with a PL tone of 88.5. So if you reset it, you know, probably take you a big 2 minutes to add that channel back to it, and it'll be the same as it was. When in doubt with modern day radios, I always advise people to reset the factory defaults before you do anything else, because usually that solves 9 out of 10 problems.
Hey, that's going to be an interesting evening at some point to reset it. But have you experienced that yourself, where it just says Yaesu and WiredX on the bottom and doesn't do anything else?
No, I've not had that problem with this. Again, I don't really do that much with it. I bought the RT system software, and I copied all the stations that I have for my other radios. The beauty of RT systems is that you can cut and paste between different devices. Because it just is built that way. So I have all the same repeaters in the FTM-400 that I have in my ICOM IC-7100. But I've never really used it that much as a go-to radio. It's kind of been dedicated for our repeater, especially because it's capable of fusion. So it's kind of not seen a lot of... I've used it, but in a very static sort of way.
All right, well, I guess I'll try to reset it and play around with it and see if I can get it back to running. I just don't know if it has more settings than that, but I'll figure it out. Just will take a little work. I haven't gotten the computer to work, needed another wire. One step at a time. Cool, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I'm sure you'll figure it out. Like I said before, I've had a similar experience with my ICOM 7100, where I needed to just reset it to factory default. It's always good to, usually these things have some means to download their settings. So when you have everything just the way you like it, you should, if it has an SD card or a micro SD card or you know, software that downloads it, it's always nice to have a kind of emergency copy someplace. So I've never really had to reset this one, but I have reset my 7100, which for the most part has operated flawlessly. But the Achilles heel in modern technology radios is that they all operate with a microprocessor. And, you know, odd things happen to microprocessors that kind of will occasionally cause the firmware to go around in a circle for a long, long time.
Yeah, one of the advice I saw online when I was briefly searching this is like, well, turn it on, let it hang around for a half an hour longer and see if it just comes back to life, which it did not, but it was kind of an interesting piece of advice. Just, you know, see if it comes back to life, you know? Yeah, it did not work. I'm going to try it out, see what happens. I'm going to try to get this whole rig running before I pass it out to anybody else, because when I bring it over to anyone else, I want to be able to install it relatively easier, and I want to debug it and mess with all the settings I don't understand. Lifetime, because, you know, never enough time to do that.
I think the novel aspect to this is the HRI 200 software that runs on the computer. Never really investigated a great deal. I just kind of learned how to turn it off and on, because I think I mentioned during the last meeting what was happening at one point is there were guys from all over the country or the world used to chatting on the FusionNet using the FusionNet room that was linked directly to us. and they wouldn't hear the technical net because the technical net was done in analog, and analog didn't go down that pipeline. So they would tune into the FusionNet room, hear that it's nice and quiet, and start to have a chat smack dab in the middle of my technical net. So I learned to log remotely on and turn the Fusion connections off and on at will.
This is an interesting thing. I don't have quite enough of an understanding how this whole Fusion thing net works. Why isn't the whole idea is to create connectivity? Why isn't the analog stuff being piped to the digital channel? Why is it not connecting like that?
Well, I don't want to sound like a paranoid person, but it seemed to me that it was not high in Yaesu's priority. They had sold us the repeater primarily to promote fusion technology, and the idea of people buying it and then using it as a regular FM analog repeater probably did not make them very happy. So they were not very quick to stomp on the bugs introduced by trying to put an analog signal down through the internet channel that they had built. I remember talking to one of their representatives at the Sussex Hamfest, and he just kind of said that they haven't been able to fix that problem. And I assume they still haven't fixed that problem. And I assume they'll never fix that problem again, because it's probably a bit in their vested interest to continue to have that problem.
I wonder how much of design and oversight. It kind of would make sense that you want to have that bridge between digital connectivity and analog connectivity, right? That crossover. I get that they didn't want it just to be used a fully analog repeater. I got that. But that's kind of a cool thing where you can extend the range of your repeater through the quote-unquote modern means. But yeah, surprisingly they didn't do that.
Well, again, no one particularly told me that this was the primary reason. It's just that when push came to shove, the software just was way too buggy. In the old days, we made the attempt at a mixed mode transmission to the Kings County Radio Club room, was what it was originally called. And what would inevitably happen is occasionally the analog signal would jam up the room and lock the transmitter, and it was a bit of a pain to deal with it, and it would happen repeatedly to the point that Joe was babysitting the HRI 200 at the time, and you know he would start to get annoyed because it's right next to his bedroom, and you know it'd squawk and make all these strange noises, and he had to deal with it repeatedly, and so it was just the analog was just shut down, and as far as I've read, they haven't really made any particular progress. People just got used to it that way.
Got it. I wonder if any new software or hardware or firmware would have fixed that by now, but for now, the idea is to get it back to running the way it was rather than try something different. Everyone's running the way it was. So we'll see. Cool, thanks. For now, I think that's all I have. Let's see if I come up with more questions as we go along.
Okay, very good. Thank you for participating. Once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and this is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second, fourth Wednesday of each and every month at 9 p.m. And we're open for business. Let me see. I have a little message from Alex, 82DU, on Echo Link. Does he see the word Wires X at the bottom below Yaesu? Is the question that Alex is asking you, Max.
KT2BE, yes, indeed. It says Yaesu and then Wires X on the bottom, but I haven't been able to get out of that mode.
Okay. Alex, if you have any words of wisdom and you can get on, because you are on Echolink, I don't know if you're on also your radio, but if you have some comment or advice to offer Max, please feel free.
So, to run to my mobile radio,
there's a Reddit thread where it's stuck in Wires X mode, and you have to long press a couple buttons during boot up, and then it'll knock it out of that. I'm trying to find it right now.
And that, it wasn't working for me because it was quite clear if I had to just like, oh, press the dial and it will come back, but it didn't say like two buttons, three buttons, and then seemed to have worked for me. But if you find something more concrete than that, hey, that would be great to try.
This is Alpha Charlie 2 Zulu Victor checking in. This is AC2ZV checking in. Roy, you there?
Yes, I am here. The problem is you had the delay button with the push-to-talk type of thing. But I am here, William, and I'm glad to hear you as well.
Okay. Hey, Roy. Anyway, this is William. We're done with the SMPTE meeting, and I got a ride home, and I'm in the middle of Grand Central Station. I don't think I'll be able to stay on long for a while, but... I just wanted to say good evening, and listening to you and Max go back and forth. Maybe Joe, AC2AE, might have some words for him. You know, I don't really know that much about DMR, though.
Okay, very good, William. Well, I'm glad you were able to check in, say hello. I don't want to keep you on too long, so thank you very much.
Well, my report on the SMPTE meeting was, it's kind of interesting. There was a whole lot of new tech, but mostly what they were saying was the ATSC-3 is a very slow roll, and a lot of energy is going into it, but, you know, it's not really doing that much. It's more for the parts of the country that don't have any internet service is better than the cities and stuff like that. And the big deal in TV, what's happening with the SMPTE thing, is that everybody is just going a little bit of AI here and there and keeping developing new products. There's a lot of new lenses out there that the cinematographers were talking about, but nothing really that happened in the radio world except to say that the Teradex now has the ability to sync up three cell phones at the same time to get your video through. So. That's about it for my report.
Okay, very good. We never really discussed television technology here on the Kings County Technical Net in the old days. One of the regular people who showed up on the Limark Technical Net was Eric, KE2EJ, who was a broadcast engineer, and he would discuss in infinite detail ATSC 3.0 and what it was doing and how the frequencies were being moved around. And he even attempted numerous times to discuss the compression algorithm of MP4 and further generations. There are still people, especially amateur radio operators, both because they have the innate ability to deal with radial antennas, and also because we're a little on the cheap side. There's more than a few hams that refuse to pay for streaming services and or for cable, and so it's broadcast all the way. So, at least on Limark, there were at least more than a few people interested in how over-the-air broadcasting was going. Again, because they still used it. I think I moved away from it back in 1980 when I got cable. But, that's amateur radio.
I don't know if you can hear me or if I'm doubling, but I seem to have lost your signal, Roy, and it's pretty loud with these trains. So I'm gonna say 73, and great chatting with you, and I'll try picking you up if I get home, see if you guys are on.
Yes.
Well, I definitely heard you there, William. I found an answer to the question. I was able to replicate the...
Oh, Okay, that was very curious. It sounded like someone doubled Alex. William didn't have the question. Max had the question. Max had the question about the Wires X. So I'm assuming that that's what you're alluding to, Alex.
Yes, I have the new FTM 500, and I was able to replicate the issue on the 500. You hold the two red buttons on the front, the GM and the DX button, and then hit the power on button. Like, when the thing's off, you hold the two, and then you hit the power on button. And I was able to do it both ways. 82 to you, over.
82 VA here. Gold Star, Gold Star, that did exactly what it needed to do. It actually switched from saying Wires X to KCRC, and it's running, so I might, after this, I can connect the antenna, just make sure I can hear some things. This thing came without a mix, so I'm going to test that out. Just want to make sure everything works, and then I got like a cheap replacement mic for FTM 400 and FT 5500, so I can play around with the other piece of equipment as well before I dedicate it to whoever I think needs it. But that worked. That's great. Thank you so much. That was a win, because I was about to email Mitch and go like, hey, is this supposed to happen? Thank you.
Well, I second the emotion, Alex. Thank you for helping out. We all help each other. That's one of the big things about this hobby that I love so much.
Now, the other thing I was messing with, the computer is so old that none of my monitors want to work with it. I actually got to get a proper VGA cable, which I used to have a million and one off, but somehow I have zero off now. So that should arrive tomorrow so I can get the computer going. Well, we'll get Wires X capability back for what it's worth, and then down the line, if anybody wants to try again to see if the software is less buggy about the connectivity, maybe that's what we should look into, but one step at a time. Appreciate it.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I threw out loads of VGA cables. At one point, I had so many of them, and I said to myself, when was the last time I saw a monitor with a VGA connector? And I think it's been about 15 years. So I said, you know what? If I need a new one, I'll get it from Amazon.
That's what I ended up doing. Luckily enough, the monitors on my wife's desk do seem to have a VGA connector, so I'll be able to connect it there just to get it running while I get it to my Wi-Fi and reset the VNC password and all that. But yeah, I was surprised by that as well. I was like, wait, not even DVI, now the DisplayPort? It's just, yeah, straight old VGA. It's a pretty old computer.
Yeah, what can I tell you? I mean, there are still people out there probably working on Windows XP.
Not Windows 95, Windows Millennium, okay? XP actually worked relatively well.
Well, I have happy memories as far as Windows XP. There have been good Windows versions. There have been awful Windows versions. I particularly was amused that Windows 8 left such a stench that they didn't even want to have a Windows 9. They just jumped to Windows 10.
Do you remember Windows NT 4.0 and 3.0?
Yes, indeed. I remember those. 3.1 was when I got on this wagon train. Up until then, I started with an Atari 800. I then graduated to, I think, a technologically innovative machine called the Amiga. And unfortunately, the company just went out of business, and I had to figure out where I was going to go in the fork of the road. Was I going to go with Apple? Was I going to go with PCs? And at that point, it was, I think, Windows 3.11. It was a terrible operating system. It didn't multitask, and it had very few colors, and it was depressing. But it's gotten better over the years.
Of the old iterations of operating software, 95 crashed all the time, 3.1 wasn't too bad, but NT was when it got pretty stable. It's like the NT kernel was pretty good. I remember playing with alpha and beta releases of NT 5.0, which I think then became the next regular Windows they merged it, but that was impressive. The stability now, it's far more stable.
Yeah, it's a lot stabler, but you know, I would love it to be have a little bit of the quality, say, of Linux or Unix, where you could theoretically run it without rebooting for more than a few days. Depending upon how many things you have running simultaneously, Windows continues to be somewhat constipated at times. So I have grown very cautious. The last time I booted this particular computer I'm using right now was just one day and 2 hours ago, which is not unusual. If I can get away with 3 days in a row where it doesn't act very weird, I consider myself very fortunate.
Sure, but look at the demands we have on our personal laptops, which is supposed to look nice and do nice things, just a little different. I've had my own share of problems with Linux, especially when you do an update and all of a sudden half the stuff stops working for God knows why. But yeah, I can't complain these days. I've been having pretty good luck with operating systems doing their job relatively well. Maybe I'm messing with them less than I used to. Who knows?
Well, I mean, my old line is a lot like what people used to kind of do with women can't live with them, can't live without them. You know, I kind of juxtapose computers into that equation as well. I don't know how I wouldn't be able to do 9/10 of what I do today without my computers. But sometimes they do frustrate me. Sometimes I have to figure out why they're not quite working the way they're supposed to work that today. And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, have you tried turning it off and on? That's kind of the go-to response of IT, and it's very effective because a lot of things you solve by just turning it off and turning it on.
Lee, that is very true. All right, well, this KT2VA, I'm just going to see if anybody else has any technical questions for tonight. Back to you, Roy.
Certainly. Once again, I am AC2GS, and my name is Roy, and this is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month at 9 p.m. to hopefully help people with technical questions, topics of discussion, learn new things maybe occasionally as well. So it's always an adventure. So if there's anyone out there, either who knows this TechNet well or just discovered it today, and they have a question or a comment or a topic for discussion, please hit that push-to-talk button and ID yourself. Okay, no more questions, apparently. Let's see if we could wrangle up someone to answer our puzzle for tonight. It's not a difficult one, and it's not a graphic one, so it should go down easy. Tonight's puzzle is, says, the low-pass filter in a microphone amplifier of a transmitter should cut off all frequencies above about what frequency? And they offer you four choices of the cutoff frequency for a possible microphone amplifier. Choice A is 3 kilohertz, choice B is 6 kilohertz, Choice C is 9 kilohertz, and choice D is 12 kilohertz. So again, A is 3, B is 6, C is 9, and D is 12. If anyone would like to hazard a guess on this.
Repeating the question.
Certainly. The low-pass filter in the microphone amplifier of a transmitter should cut off all frequencies above what frequency? 3 kilohertz, 6 kilohertz, 9 kilohertz, or 12 kilohertz?
I'm going to guess 12.
Well, we're kind of mostly talking single sideband. There's all kinds of technology that has all kinds of different frequency ranges. But again, this is amateur radio. So in single sideband, most transmissions are kept to somewhere around 300 hertz to 2700 hertz. That's kind of the standard the audio range of a single sideband transmission. So most most transmitters are designed to cut off at around 3 kilohertz. Now, you know, just to show you that not all questions can be answered with 100% effectiveness, there are things called extended single sideband in which they take up twice as much bandwidth for high fidelity voices, I guess. In the case of extended single sideband, it would be 6 kilohertz because that's the bandwidth for ESSB. But I don't think I've heard an ESSB signal in about 5 years. It's not really popular because it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, do you really need to have your voice received with higher fidelity?
It's not. That's why I was wondering if it's at some point it's really out of hearing range, but I completely misunderstood the question. That's interesting.
Yeah. No problem. A lot of this kind of goes back to Bell Labs' research into voices and frequency ranges and, you know, what was the lowest level of bandwidth that was still intelligible, that was not taxing to people's hearing and such. And, you know, it's been said it's something around 3K for an eternity. Anyway, once again, I am AC2GS. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. And if anyone has any other questions or comments for tonight, we're open to business until people just have nothing left to offer. So with that in mind, once again, I'll throw it out to the audience. If anyone has any additional questions or comments or topics for discussion, let me know now before we shut it all down. Okay, very well. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York, and we meet on the first Wednesday of each and every month. Our next meeting will be June 7th, which will be held by teleconference. Club members will be emailed with the details of logging into the meeting. Non-members wishing to join a general club meeting can email me, AC2GS, with some form of identification for the required link. Although our meeting informally begins after 7 p.m., our formal regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until anywhere from 8:30, 9, 9:30, occasionally 10 o'clock, depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter net on every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at 9 p.m. We also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on 28.380 upper sideband. We offer an audio stream of our KC2RC repeater on the internet as well as our 10-meter net. You just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website hosting services were generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, Three Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen a bit more and talk a bit less. Well, we're going to roll this all up and shut it all down, but we'll be back to do this all over again May 24th, and you're all welcome to join us. Thanks to all the people that participated tonight. Without you guys, I'd just be talking to myself. So this is AC2GS, and I'm going clear and getting the heck out of here. Take it easy, be well, stay safe, and we'll talk to you down the line. This is AC2GS Clear.